Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Thank you to Liquid IV for sponsoring this video. It's a product that was already in my kitchen. I absolutely love them, and I totally think that it's something that would benefit you guys as well. And I'll tell you why after the reaction and pre-intro.
I think we got to get into it.
Let's do it.
Producers expressed their appreciation to the National Park Service, United States Department of the Interior, for its cooperation in the production of this motion picture.
National Park. So, again, we probably were in, and we can look up those facts in a minute, but Utah or I think Arizona.
It's somewhere like that, I would assume.
Somewhere around there in one of those national parks. And wow. Okay. I really like this movie. The thing that I love the most is that you really didn't even go more than 7 seconds without an alternate angle of a shot. And you don't, and there is some long shots in this as well. And man, oh man, I really just like hats off to the sound. This is so long ago. And I see movies that are in like 90s and 2000s. And I'm like, that ADR is off, or it very clearly sounds like
good
ADR.
Point.
And why are we doing that? And I never got that vibe here. And we didn't even have advanced editing software back then. So I'm really amazed at how well this was put together. And obviously all the actors were great, really great, really believable. The one part that I got issue with, it's not even a big issue, is just when he first makes his escape, he's leaving weapons behind. He had a net. I'm like, he could have used that net.
And didn't get on a horse.
He didn't get on a horse. He knocked the one ape off, but didn't keep it. And then he had another weapon that he left behind as he was running around. I'm like, you know me about the leaving the weapons behind. He didn't jump on that horse, which I did not like. But obviously, if he had, wouldn't it made for it's such a good story. Right. Now, what are your first thoughts? Tell us.
I really enjoyed it. It's interesting because I know most people have probably seen this film first. And then, I mean, again, there's so many. But then come to the trilogy that we had just watched.
Right.
And again, that's one of, for me, I don't know how you all feel, but I think it's one of the greatest trilogies ever.
True. I'm
and
with
also
him
just,
on that.
Just Caesar's journey. I thought that was awesome. But having said that, I really appreciated this. Again, as you said, the foundation. I love the reversal, too. Just how, like, man are the beasts now.
Yeah.
And, you know, apes are the evolved ones and the intelligent ones, as you say. And I thought that was an interesting way to angle the story. I thought, like, again, very fascinating. And I love how the film really starts at the beginning. It's a very slow burn, but you don't feel that slow burn because you're so enthralled with the environment, just getting used to everything. And obviously, we started in the spaceship and just they let us know like, oh, it's again, I know this is way past Interstellar. I'm just making it simple in terms of like the time. Have you seen Interstellar, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just didn't want to spoil in case you hadn't seen it. Just the whole like time works differently out in space. Mm-hmm. Like it's way into the future, but it's at a slow burn for us. It's what normal time feels for us. It's you know, time goes way faster on Earth. So I thought that was an interesting and quick way to let us know what we're in for in terms of the future. And just, again, like I love the that you don't feel that slow burn. But again, we're getting to know these characters and feeling the environment. And again, I love that they didn't rush into the apes. And especially back then in 68. Yeah, you know what the movie is the title, but it's again building up suspense and tension. And then we get to meet the indigenous. Did I say that right?
Indigenous.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Tara.
Yeah.
Got to take a speech class from you. But we get to meet them, which is, again, fascinating because the intelligent level is not as evolved as the apes and as it was previously on Earth. So I thought that was a fascinating touch. And they took, you know, the astronauts or the ASNA, or however you say their.
Right.
They took their clothes and all that. And just, again, seeing the actors, well, you have Taylor, you have Landon and Dodge.
Yeah.
Just seeing how they're reacting to the environment on top of getting to know them. I thought that was just fascinating character development in general. Like, because this is how we would probably read. They were like the audience for us, too. Like, this is a fascinating experience because we're kind of reacting like this, too, with them. It's like we're kind of living vicariously through these characters.
Right. So
I thought that was fascinating of world building here at the beginning. And then when the apes started hunting, I was like, holy crap, not expecting that at all.
Agreed.
So I just thought that the story was just so enthralling and so interesting. And then, you know, we'll get into the rest of the plot from there. But what a great, you know, intro. Like,
I agree, because in that intro, right, when we get into the conversation between Landon and Taylor, in that conversation where we learn about Dodge, Dodge is out to seek adventure, which is what Landon is saying. And Landon and Skipper or Taylor tells Landon of like, you're the youngest here and you know you wanted to be the last man around. And now that she's gone, aren't you happy? You're happy about that. You're going to last longer. And then we find out, but it all came out. It did not feel, and you know that I'll bring up when it feels like exposition. It wasn't. It came so naturally when they were like looking for water. And then that conversation came about so naturally where he digs into him and he's like, man, Taylor, just like let off it already. And then we learn Taylor does not give a flying F about other people.
Right.
And we learn so much about him in that. And also about Landon and Dodge, too. Even though we don't really get to hear much of a conversation from them after, we learn so much about our lead character in that little tiny conversation that we were there.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like exposition at all. And
absolutely,
that even though it was a slow burn, they chose just the right moment to feed us that information. And I really love that. I think that's what makes this such a good film.
Absolutely. And just to your point, I mean, because when we heard him laughing maniacally after Landon paying his respects to Stewart, I believe her name was.
Yes.
And then he starts laughing, I'm like, why is he laughing like that? And then again, you insert the exposition, which again, like you said, organically and naturally done.
And we learn.
Like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. He's still a little bit like off, but still that makes, for his character, that makes sense.
Makes sense.
And it sets up an arc for his character now when he starts giving a shit about Nova and just other characters. And also, too, he doesn't want to see, I forget her name, the ape that...
Zira. Yeah.
Okay. When and Cornelius and then her nephew, like, he's actually caring for others. And I think, you know, it's properly earned his character development. Like, I actually bought it the way he, like...
Me too.
You know, just in a insane society that he's witnessing here. Like,
yeah.
I could buy like his development like that because I thought that was a proper way to go.
I agree.
Also, too, I really found it fascinating seeing the contrast in ideologies with Zira.
Yes.
With Zira and Dr. Zaius.
Yeah. Yes.
Just like the power threat. He felt like an intelligent man. How dare you have that? And then, but she's like an animal a man psychologist, I guess you would call her animal psychologist. But I found that fascinating. Like that, it let, it had interesting interactions between the two of them, just seeing their...
Going back and forth,
but also, too, again, just seeing, like, the way they think about man and just the differences between them. I found that very fascinating, those interactions. I thought the delivery from the actors were great, but I found, like, the dialogue to be so interesting.
Agreed.
As well.
The script is written so smartly because we know that with that maniacal laugh and him, Landon burying the flag, that could have happened immediately. He maniacally laughs and like in a crappier script, they would have gone like, I get it. You don't care about human beings, but I'm planting this for her. But it didn't. It's just, we let him laugh. We walk it out. And that conversation comes up more naturally for us to find out about our lead character. And I also agree. That conversation, that whole courtroom conversation, we learned a lot. Yeah. And like you said, this was already pre-planned. And then we find out it was pre-planned. They had already made their decision. And that really makes, as an audience member, angry. I mean, for me, I was like, come on, guys. Everything that they're saying, you're not even giving them a chance at all.
Yeah.
And they had great arguments time after time, especially when Cornelius steps in and says, talks about the Forbidden Zone, how he went about a year ago and is showing proof that there's other life that exists. And I was so glad that finally I knew we would have to go there, that we would have to break him out. We'd have to go there, of see course. What they discovered. And that was a lot of fun to discover that. And when they discover the doll, I didn't know this in the beginning of Barbie. You know, when they have those dolls and in the beginning of Barbie, they're like smashing them. That is a callback to this movie. Oh. And I didn't know what that fully meant because I hadn't seen this. But then I'd see that doll and I went, oh, yes. Now I see the inspiration of that. That it's these little girls like, right, crushing the dolls that look very in this Planet Apes-esque setting.
Do you see, guys? I'm not the only one who come up with references on this channel. It's also Tara as well.
My
she
one,
came up with the Bright
time.
Eyes, Bright Eyes,
bright
and Rise
eyes,
of the
that's
Planets.
True.
Two.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yeah.
But no, for sure, good callbacks he came up with too. Also, too, we were talking about him not caring about others. Do you remember the reaction we got from Charlton Heston's character, when he saw what they had done, the lobotomy with Landon again,
right?
And he's laughing maniacally to Stuart, one of his teammates from Asna, wherever it's called. And then he saw what they had done to Landon.
Yeah.
Obviously, he had viewed Landon not only as a teammate, but also like kind of his life support line there. Like, hey, I got to show that there's someone like you that can talk. But still, it wasn't even that kinship too. It was just like, oh my God, one of my teammates, like, again, there's that character development. I care about this human being. I'm like, what have you done to him?
Exactly.
Like, you
did this.
I bought that reaction from someone laughing maniacally to one of his teammates earlier. And then also, too, totally. I remember we passed by Dodge. I think he reacted, again, everything happened so quickly, but at least us, we reacted to seeing Dodge in that museum. That was, I was not expecting that, I guess. But like them putting up, guys who have been mutilated and deleted into that museum. That's an interesting touch of dominance.
Yeah.
So that was fascinating. I really dug the score by Jerry Goldsmith. That guy's just been dominating the music sphere for so long. So really powerful score. There were times where I was just like, just from his beat, like there was ominous and frightening moments that just got my heart racing. Just again, building up suspense with his music. Also too, we got to praise that, especially in 1968, that makeup was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The
phenomenal.
Ape makeup. Unbelievable.
Special effects, and, bravo.
Yeah, and I thought the actors, again, we talked about during the reaction, they did such a phenomenal job, especially Cornelius and Zira.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep forgetting your name, people.
Yep.
I thought they did a phenomenal job just expressing and emoting their facial reactions.
I agree.
I so appreciate it. I could always tell, again, special thanks to those actors, just from what they were feeling and what they were thinking.
Yeah.
And you could just see, like, the doubts that they had from Dr. Zayas and how he felt about, again, ideology speaking, and also, too, how much they believed in Taylor and his intelligence. I'm like, I could just see that on their facial reactions. Just even if I was watching this as a silent film with no dialogue, I could understand what they were thinking.
Yeah.
And that's the power of good acting.
Yeah, I agree. Because a lot of it always with good actors comes from the eyes. You can sort of read it. It comes from here, but then also facial expressions. And to do that through makeup is also, it's not easy at all. So like hats off to that. And God, what was the, I had another thought about, yes, the makeup, obviously, like, yeah, we should get more props to that, because truly, even now, there are sometimes when you make a creature and stuff like that, now that we're seeing a lot of CGI stuff that when, what was the movie that I just watched that I was like, those all look practical, and I was losing my mind about it because it's a newer movie, and I went, newer movies don't do that. There's right, a lot right. of, and I really appreciate this going back to practical effects, just like the ship. I was like, that's real.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And these master shots that I was like, I think you might be right. And that one, I was like, maybe it's a miniature that they use for one shot. The rest of it was very real. In the water, the ship comes out, them climbing out of it. I mean, just
it's fantastic.
All of it was just, it's so good for its time. And that's what makes it so exciting. I wish that movies would still try to strive for that now, even though I know it's like we can fix it in post or we can use CGI. Right. But I'm like, the practical stuff is so much better.
I'm with you. I don't mind a little CGI here and there. I just think I've always said this, and I will continue to say this, Terminator 2 and Jurassic Park, I think those are the staples for doing it the perfect way of blending practical and CGI. If you balance them out the right way,
absolutely,
it brings about the illusion that there is no CGI. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Again, it's all about balance. But
if
you overstuff it with CGI, it's just going to take away the illusion a little bit or a lot.
And Chucky, actually, because I've been watching the Chucky series, you guys know, Chucky does a good job of that. I mean, I just watched 5.
Kevin Yeager.
Some of that feels in the beginning sort of like a video game, like it's digital, of when there's a POV and he's walking up the room. But then you cut to those animatronics, which are amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, bravo. But like, in this, it's like, we don't even have animatronics. These are real people. Makeup, all very, very practical, which just made you more invested in it.
Yeah.
And the sets were outrageously beautiful.
Too,
like, wow. I mean, it's beautiful not only to look at, but just that you're taking us on this adventure to new places that still feel very ancient.
Reject Nation, I am here to talk to you today about something that I value very much, and I hope you will learn to value it too. And if you already do, then I got an amazing recommendation for all of you. Now, many of you guys have been so kind to notice that Sir Gregory over here has been getting in a little bit of a better shape as of late in the past year or so. I mean, I'm just looking. Everybody loves the guy who flexes on camera. No one finds that annoying or like they're trying to get attention. I'm only doing it to make a point that I've been taking health and fitness quite serious, mainly because I really like to feel more energetic in a more natural way. Helps me focus. I just feel better overall. And one thing I've really noticed that is very, very important to me is proper hydration. Sometimes you might just casually see me sipping on one of these, no big deal. But sometimes I don't want to just like fill my body up with so much water before getting on camera and getting some of that water bloat or whatever that might occur. And it's also important to get electrolytes after sweating a bunch, because if there's one thing I notice is that after I exercise, do I feel a high from it? Absolutely. But if I don't replenish my body properly afterwards, I slowly get drained. I feel more foggy minded. I feel more fatigued. And that's why this is something I've already been using, and I am so happy to be partnered with them. It is Liquid IV. I've only got 3 packets left. I need to order more. And what's so great about it is that after using these, I always feel way more refreshed. I feel like I feel more focused. Sometimes I might get a little bit of a head pain. It helps relieve a lot of that. And it's more than just working out. Sometimes you might just be really tired or have an exhaustive day. Like, for example, sometimes we're working all day, and then we gotta shoot a show at midnight or something like that, and I need energy. I need to be live on camera, and I usually take a hydration formula, and Liquid IV is a very, very reliable one. So while drinking water is of course very important, Liquid IV can provide the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. That's like efficient. They're of course packed with a lot of essential vitamins. They're vegan, soy-free, gluten-free, dairy-free. You can customize the water amount to your taste. They have a lot of options. And the reason I love this one is because throughout the week, I usually have a no sugar added diet. And this one right here, it's sugar-free. So it's perfect for me. So yes, it's great for post-night recovery, traveling, maybe having a big night out after, you know. So if you want to improve your endurance, you want to improve your overall well-being, you want to be hydrated, it is extremely important to vitality. So to boost your hydration and also boost support for the channel, would love to stay sponsored with these guys. Considering that we do use these products and we really vouch for them and really do think you would benefit from them, you can go to liquidiv.com and use promo code REJECTS. Once again, that's liquidiv.com, promo code REJECTS. Remember, it's not a real IV, but it sure feels like it. That's comedy gold.
For sure. And also they feel so lived in too. Yeah. And I just like, it feels like an environment that, you know, apes that are this dominant and this intelligent would live in. Like they absolutely nailed the look of it. And I loved, again, like you just said, all the locations, like even at the beginning when we were getting the setup to walking to where we were,
yeah,
it felt like a character in itself, the environment, like just breathe, like a breathing character itself, like that, yeah, we were getting used to. So they really nailed it with all the product. Like there wasn't one set where I was like, nah, they got it wrong. God, like they nailed all the production design on this film.
Really,
like everything
did.
Was tight, so shotly. The dialogue was fantastic. The characters were great. There were just so many. And again, I loved the story. I just thought it was such an interesting take. Again, Caesar's my goat. I love, yeah, the arc he goes, uh-huh, through. Like I was so damn invested in that storyline. Oh my God, that's one of my favorite trilogies ever. But this was also a cool take on it too. It's interesting to go from that to this. But I do like, again, the reverse of now man are the beast and now, mm-hmm, you know, apes are the intelligent ones. I think that's a fascinating way to do the story as well. So
yeah.
Yeah,
it's a big metaphor for like indigenous people being, yeah, like wiped out.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of metaphors in this, and I'm sure he's looking up trivia now. But I mean, overall, I'm like, yeah, this movie, 10 out of 10 for me. Absolutely great. I think I saw it pop up when it went back to the screen that it said 2-time Oscar nominee, which I'm like, yeah, it should.
Wow. High rating on this film. 8.0 out of 10. That's,
yeah,
a high-ass rating.
I mean,
rating.
It should be. I'm like, in everything that I'm saying, I'm like, this is 1968. There are movies being made today that are not as good, and we have more technology.
Yeah.
Like, that don't look as good, that don't sound as good. I am like, the time and the effort put into this movie, whoever was involved in regards to DP, sound, direction, that is a lot of work when you're on film to set up a camera at a different angle for like every 7 seconds to have a different angle of the
for
same
sure.
shot.
Yeah.
You guys don't understand how difficult that is. I do think it was easier in those master long shots. We are using natural light.
Absolutely.
But when we get into the close-ups, where there has to be, you know, a reflector there and possibly plug-in lights, maybe not. Maybe it was just a reflector and the camera's close. We could utilize and not have as many gaffers, but that doesn't change the fact that we still had a lot of crew.
And when we were on the canyon in a wide shot, and there's no effect of ADR. I'm like, how did in 1968? And films that are coming out
don't even sound that good.
I'm like, how did you do that?
Right, and I'm like, maybe it was the real echo and being that canyon.
Right, using
a boom being lobbed up, really adding those sounds together and utilizing that could be. But truly, I'm like, yes, it totally deserves an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this movie's great.
Let's really quick before we get into the trivia. I'm curious how you feel. I thought that twist with the Statue of Liberty at the end, like, and also the fact, not only that, it's obviously the twist is, he's on Earth the entire time. He's not gone off to a different... I thought that was so fascinating and stuff. And again... we were not around in 1968. We don't know the type of films that were coming out back then.
Right.
Or if twists were such a thing. But that, I thought that was...
oh, it was a great twist.
Yeah.
Even though from the audience's point of view, we're all looking at it like, that looks like the Grand Canyon-esque or a Utah or a state that we're all used to.
Right.
But them being... setting it up initially of like, we might be on a Martian land, but then they're like, wait, we don't have to use... the air is breathable and the water, we can... we're over here, that we're kind of getting more Earth-like. But then once we run into the apes, we're thinking, wait, are we on a different island somewhere far away from Earth, a totally different planet that is just not evolved? And it's like, no, it's kind of devolved from where we were at into where we are now. I did not see that coming.
That was the fascinating
when
part to
like,
me.
When he's like, you blew it all to hell.
Yeah, because obviously like from the landmass, we're seeing like, okay, this could be Earth. But then when we're seeing like, okay, apes that are now extremely intelligent like that. Obviously we had seen the trilogy, but still like... this is different,
different
time and all that. So like, we're probably not on Earth. And also we were in space, which we were not
in
the original trilogy.
We don't know where we actually
landed.
There could be other planets where it's breathable, looks like that, right?
For sure. So I just thought it was a wonderfully done twist. And it's not, we're going to subvert expectations just to subvert. Like this is a well done twist that fits in with the storyline.
Like, and to pick the one, like what's going to be the one prop that the audience kind of sees and goes like, that's the Statue of Liberty when he goes, oh, you burned it all to hell or whatever he says at the end, that we're getting there. We're like, let us see the flip that it is that.
And that was
wow. That was and then we're like, we are here.
Yeah.
That was a great twist.
I was going to say too. Bravo. And fascinating reaction by Charlton Heston. And also again, by the actress who plays Nova.
Yeah.
No reaction because shit, what does she know
she
about?
She doesn't know.
So that was a good contrast between the two reactions right
Absolutely.
There. So
he's like the last man of his kind that
literally.
Would remember this stuff.
Yeah, for sure. All right, shall we get into
Let's
some trivia?
It.
Okay, so during breaks in filming, actors made up as different ape species tended to hang out together. Gorillas with gorillas, orangutans with orangutans, chimps with chimps. It wasn't required. It just naturally happened.
That's
so funny.
That's great.
I wish I was alive to be on set to see them.
That's like, great.
This is an interesting environment we're on.
Right.
We're gonna be method here. Even
All right.
when the cameras
yeah,
are on.
Yeah, I know, right?
Roddy McDowell, however you say it, an experienced actor recommended to his companions in makeup that they should frequently add ticks, blinks, and assorted facial gestures to add a sense of realism and keep the makeup from appearing mask-like. McDowell reportedly became a merry prankster with the makeup, driving home with his makeup on and shocking some of the other drivers on the freeway. While doing the Planet of the Apes television series, Roddy surprised Carol Burnett when he showed up on the Jackson 5 and Roddy McDowell in full Galen makeup while he was taping her intro talking to the audience. Oh, that's
wow,
so great.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's great with the freeway story and all that other. But yeah, there were some, like Cornelius had some tics I noticed. I'm like, I love this character trait.
Yeah.
Like, I love stuff like that. And obviously, I assume you've seen The Dark Knight, right?
Yeah, it's one of my top 10,
there,
maybe.
Like that, there's that tick that he does. I love when actors do stuff like that. It's
choices.
Very memorable for me.
Absolutely.
I mean, personally. But,
and I have to just say, there was one time, it was only a couple years ago, I was on set for a horror and we had to put blood on my face and in my hair, but I was filming at my friend's house and I was like, I'm not going to take a shower here. I'll just drive myself home. But I was starving, you guys. So I drove through McDonald's
with
and
blood.
I knew, yes, because I was like, what am I going to wipe it off with my hands? I just had to go. I drove up to the window and I saw his face was like,
are you okay?
I was like, it's okay. I'm an actor. I was filming. I was like, I'm just hungry. Like, I'm not good at trying to play a bad joke like that. I'm like, no, I'm good. I didn't kill anybody. Just got upset. But I think that's great what he did.
And just to your story too, really quick before I read a couple more.
Yeah.
I believe I saw too on YouTube a while back that Arnold Schwarzenegger in his Terminator makeup with his face like half. He went to like a couple restaurants. And again, this is the first one where people had not yet seen the movie.
They don't know yet.
And people like saw him like, what the hell is going on right now?
Like, he's a future man.
Yeah, right? So this is a cool one. You're going to like this one.
Okay, let's do it.
At one of the first test screenings, a woman walked up to Charlton Heston and asked him how he was doing. Heston had no idea or clue who this was until she revealed that she was Kim Hunter, Zira. He did not recognize her because he had not previously seen her without ape makeup on.
That's the best trivia!
You believe that one?
Oh,
that's awesome.
My goodness, that is a great story.
I love that.
That's great.
I just wish, I wish I was there for that interaction.
For his, like...
Who are you? Oh, you don't remember me?
Right.
We've been acting together the last 3 months.
Exactly.
You just don't recognize my face.
Oh, that's great.
But don't you recognize my voice?
Yeah.
Okay. I got three more I'll do.
All right, let's do it.
There were three other endings suggested for the film's climax, but the one favored by Charlton Heston ultimately won out. I'm curious what those two
other
endings. They didn't tell
Dang
us. Maybe
it.
You guys can let it. I'm sure some of y'all research this if you know.
Yeah.
You called this one. It says the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil gag was entirely ad-libbed on the set. On the day of shooting, it was kept in because people found it amusing when the film was threatening to get too serious.
Oh, it's absolutely, and it's still like, there's going to be some audience members that don't even notice it. Because they kind of are making moves that we don't until they settle in being upset that they freeze in those positions. Ugh. So good. Love that ad lib.
Okay. Charlton Heston was extremely sick during much of the filming with the flu.
Oh my gosh.
Rather than wait, I couldn't even tell watching. Rather than wait for him to get better, the producers felt that his hoarse voice added something to the character of Taylor. According to Charlton Heston's diary, after filming the scene where Taylor and Nova are forcibly separated, he wrote that he was feeling like hell while shooting because of his illness and felt even worse every time that damn fire hose hit me. Well, we even talked about how horrible must have been, but now knowing he had the flu and was feeling like hell.
That's terrible. And we all know that water is not heated up and it's rough.
Yeah.
And wow, good on you. Like, you deserve a raise on that,
okay,
buddy.
This is the last one I'm going to read. So producer Arthur P. Jacobs enlisted several journalists to play background apes. This was a clever way of ensuring that they would write about the film. Interesting. That's a smart way to get promotion.
That is so smart.
Yeah.
Wait, why are films not doing that now? To be like, hey, journalists, do you want to be in the background of this movie for a big director?
I've never heard of that. That's cool.
That is so smart. But then again, sometimes you don't want them to see behind the scenes, right?
If there's a chaotic...
If there's some juice that goes down that
like,
you don't
want
out there.
We don't want you here. Yeah, back then, he's like, hey, I know we got a hit on our hands. And we want people to know about this. We want the... I thought that was an interesting move.
It's funny because now it's sort of the reverse. Like when they were filming Barbie, it was like there was one person who was on set because it was a closed set who got that picture of Margot Robbie and what's his hot man nuts from The Notebook?
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, thank you. That they got that one picture in their 90s gear and leaked it. It was the first thing that we ever saw.
Right.
And you're like, oh, we're so against that now that everything has to be so secretive before it comes out. But that's maybe also we had better like morals back then where the journalists are like, I'm not gonna leak this because then again, we didn't have cell phones. You're like, you're gonna put it in the paper maybe the next day, but then you'd be fired,
right?
Right? So
it'd be obvious in 1968, someone with the big camera,
absolutely.
Yeah,
like wow, that's really smart. That's great. I love this movie. It was a lot of fun to watch. The twist at the end is great. I love kind of the Bright Eyes callback. And just the metaphorical callback to like society, but also to what we eventually see in the new trilogies.
And I can't wait. I mean, you let us know in the comments section. By the way, we forgot to mention it earlier. If you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify, please 5 stars for Tara.
Do it
for her. Not for me.
Do it for me. Do it for us.
She deserves it for the whole team here.
I always forget to say that.
It's okay. That's why I'm here. I'm just kidding.
That's why he remembers
today, so I had to remember that.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, let us know in the comments if I don't know if we're going to have time, but if you want us to continue on this. There's a lot more films, apparently. I don't know how many more.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few more. I know we are eventually going to do the new film that's going to be coming out when it does eventually get on VOD. So I can't wait for that one.
I cannot wait.
I'm so excited because I believe it follows the trilogy we had just done. So, yes. But let us know in the comment section, what did you think of this film? And if you would like us to do more, I'm sure Greg and John will consider it.
Yes, leave a comment. Share the crap out of this. We love you guys so much. And we will see you on the next one. Bye.